This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
Hello and welcome to the Betting Weekly English Championship show on the BetRivers Network. I'm your host, George Ellick, and I'm delighted to be joined yet again by Jack Wright. Jack, it was we had our first midweek episode this week, and frustration, I think, is the main emotion off the back of this. How did you feel?
Yeah, if you're going to ask me how I was feeling, that was the exact word I was going to use. Yeah, frustrated, really frustrating couple of days this midweek, definitely. And not got the rub of the green for sure.
No, we haven't. I was kind of last night in the Stoke Borough game. I'd obviously tipped up Borough, draw no bet, 2-1 up into injury time and conceding late. And that unbelievable, the Bristol City, the well. I thought I was in the well, especially with Naki Wells scoring the first. I was like, it's meant to be. Bristol City, 2-0 up, tipping up over 2.5 goals, and both teams to score, have a man sent off. Luton have half an hour to score, and they can't manage it. Ismail Assar was injured, so any people who saw that he didn't score, who thought they'd lost, that bet is void. So do go back and check your BetRivers account, and the money should be in there. And we've decided to come dressed as a Battenberg today. In our colourful shirts. So hopefully that brightness can bring some winners as well. Before we get into the tips, though, do go and follow the Twitter handle @BecauseWeWin. That is messaged by all the sports handicappers on the BetRivers network. And you can find everyone's tips there and our own personal handle. So do go straight ahead and follow that account on Twitter. But time, Jack, for us to get into our picks. Always the same on this show. 3 championship picks each, and then 1 from League 1 and 1 from League 2. So big weekend ahead of us. Where are you going in the championship?
Well, I can't wait for the weekend. Get the midweek out of the way. Can't wait for the weekend. And the weekend starts on Friday. So that's where I'm going. I'm starting with the first game I can possibly put a tip into.
Your beloved Norwich.
The beloved Norwich, who like the rest of the midweek programme, did frustrate us again this weekend. We didn't lose on them, but we should have definitely cashed that bet. We got a push there last time round. Again, dominated the game. It's a familiar theme. I think you always worry if a side's not creating chances. They certainly are. They're creating lots and lots of chances. I was there at the game, and it just had that makings of where there was going to be a little bit of frustration because we needed them to win by 2 or more. They got 2 very early goals, dominated the game, played well. So they created lots of chances. Certain individuals look tailor-made for the championship. So Marcelino Nunes, again, still say impressed in the middle. He's one that's going to catch their eye. Obviously, in the UK, it's a live Friday night game. So it will get the Sky cameras here in the UK a chance to kind of focus on him and see what he can bring. So guy plays with a smile on his face, is prepared to take some chances, likes to have a shot from distance. He's got all the makings of that kind of box office, really, to be honest. And could score goals. Looks like he could assist as well. Takes a wicked free kick. So exciting stuff. But breaking down that game midweek, 22 shots again from Norwich, another 9 on target. Lee Nichols in the Huddersfield goal had another great game. He was obviously a joint winner of the Golden Glove last season in the Championship, and he's carried that form through. And I think he's going to be a little bit overworked in that Huddersfield team this season. So for Norwich now, that's a league high 68 shots in total across their 4 games, 26 on target. They've only scored 4 goals, so that shows you where the problems are. But hopefully, let's say that there's some certain players coming to the fore and looking a little bit brighter in that respect. Sinani scored and assisted. Josh Sargent, in effectively his first game for Norwich as a striker, as opposed to out wide, scored as well. So that'll give him a confidence boost. Tamer Pukki injured. So it'll be interesting to see how the makeup of the side will go there. We haven't obviously had any news on that at this moment in time, at the time of recording. But when you consider Norwich only had 1 shot on target in their first game of the season, think it shows you the progress they're making. So we've got them on a minus 0.5 handicap here at minus 115. So I think it's a good price, considering that all we need is a win from them here. Millwall, well, they've been two goals down in their last three games in the Championship. They have managed to claw some points back in the last two. How they managed it midweek, we were both scratching our heads about. Well, I'm not quite sure where on the training ground that is, that we'll get two injury time own goals in our favour. But something to look out for with the kamikaze Norwich defence, I suppose. There's got a chance that could be repeated. But I've never known that before, to be fair. I think last season, Millwall's kind of pursuit of the playoff places was built around that really strong home record. They were the third best team at home in the league last season. We expect that to continue this season. We've already picked up a winning tip and a winning bet on Millwall at home this season. But their away form last season was the 17th best in the league. So you can see where the strengths lie there. They've already lost to Sheffield United and to Cambridge in the Cup this season away from home. So I think it's a tough game. Millwall, it's under Gary Rowett, are always kind of tough, but they've seemingly, this first half thing is interesting. They've conceded a lot of goals in the first half, and Norwich have been starting very quickly. So it wouldn't surprise me to see Norwich get off to another quick start here. And so get an early lead, and then look to make sure that they can protect it, if not build on it. So yeah, I'm confident of a win, and the fact we don't need any extra other than just a win is good for me. Minus 0.5 at minus 115 is the bet.
Great stuff. Siding with Norwich again. Hopefully this time it can pay. I am looking to Swansea against Luton for my first selection here, and I'm backing the home side, Swansea, at plus 120. Swansea had a remarkable game in midweek. They were 2-0 up at home to Millwall going into the injury time. They conceded an own goal in the 93rd minute to make it 2-1, still looking likely for a victory. And then they conceded an own goal in the 95th minute and drew the game 2-2. That is the second time this season Swansea have squandered a two-goal lead. They also did it against the team that I support in the Carabao Cup. And that time they were 2-0 up and they conceded a deflected free kick and a ricochet off the goalkeeper. So it kind of feels like Russell Martin's team are using up all their bad luck early in the campaign. And they host a Luton side here who, I mean, a couple of weeks ago, if you told me that I was going to be backing Swansea at home to Luton at plus 120, I'd have called you mad. But Luton have started the season very, very poorly. And that isn't just in terms of results. Their fans are scratching their heads as to what has happened at the club. We saw them so strong last season in getting to the playoff semi-finals. But this season, it's been a couple of draws to start. They were then knocked out by League Two Newport County in the Carabao Cup and have since lost at home 1-0 to Preston, to understandably an unbelievable Brad Potts goal. And then a 2-0 defeat at Bristol City, where they kind of barely laid a glove on Bristol City, as mentioned, despite playing against 10 men for the last half an hour. So this is mainly in relation to Luton and just them being, I think we can heavily downgrade them on what we expected them to be pre-season based on their performances so far. For Swansea, it hasn't been a great start either, but when you look at the data side of things, their XG4 from open play is the fourth highest in the league so far, with 3.76, and their XG against is I think seventh best in the league. So they are kind of projecting at the moment, data wise, as probably a top eight, top nine team, and that isn't the same as what we can say about Luton. I think Millwall are a better side at the moment than Luton are, and they were two goals clear before a freak turnaround meant they didn't pick up all 3 points. So I'm pretty happy to side with Swansea. I think until we see a turnaround or an improvement in form from Luton, they're a team to kind of get against as it stands at the moment. And even though there is a slight stylistic concern for me, I think the way that Swansea like to play, very possession-based, kind of does play into the hands of someone like Nathan Jones, who'll get his team to press it incredibly aggressively and look to kind of create chances quickly on the turnover. From what we've seen so far, I think Swansea should win this if both performance levels remain the same going into this game. Jack, what's your second?
Yeah, you touched on them there. Preston versus Watford is my second selection. I'm going for the very glamorous bet on it, forget about it, and wait for the winnings to pop up into your account. Both seem to score no at minus 122. So yeah, Preston versus Watford. So we're hoping for an absolute ball fest here. Some real strange data really coming from these games. Preston have just seen one goal, and you mentioned it earlier, in their four games so far, four successive clean sheets. So Freddie Woodman's got off to the best possible start as the new goalkeeper for Preston. They seem to be dominating sides, creating chances, but not scoring. They had like 20 odd shots against Rotherham this week, and ended with a third 0-0 draw of the season so far. And so their only winner came from a worldie. So they don't happen every week, as has been proved the case. So obviously very, very defensively sound, struggling with their forward processes, and say other than that one goal, not scored themselves. They have proved really tough to beat. So last season, only the two sides lost fewer games at home than Preston, but they had the most draws. They drew 10 games, and obviously that's a trend that looks set to continue into this season, which is something we picked up on in earlier episodes, saying that obviously at this start of the season, you're either trying to find a new trend that seems to be a case, or in the sake of Bristol City, certainly someone like that an old trend from last season that seems to be continuing this season. Last meeting here, Watford won 1-0. So that was only last year, actually, beginning of last year. So again, that would fit in with what we're looking for here. As far as Watford are concerned, I've seen them three or four times already this season. They'd be shocked to be playing on a Saturday. So that might be a kind of shock to the system. It's their first Saturday game of the season. And I was just not been overly impressed, but they've obviously done well. They've got some nice points on the board, probably more than their performances have deserved. But they themselves, 2-1-0 wins, 2-1-1 draws. One of the 1-1 draws, you're looking at Ismaïla Sarr obviously scoring from 50 plus yards. So again, it's one of those that's not going to happen every single week. Of course, started with that trinity of strikers, that fantastic trio that they had in Ismaïla Sarr, Emmanuel Dennis, and in João Pedro. That's become a deadly duo since Emmanuel Dennis has gone. So with Pedro and with Sarr. And obviously Sarr was missing in the last game, and there's links and reports, obviously, that he's going to be off to potentially Crystal Palace. And there's also links with João Pedro going off potentially to Newcastle. So I think there's such a disjointed situation for Rob Edwards to be dealing with. It's not through choice that he's having to kind of have different strikers or different forward players in virtually every single game. So I think that has an impact on that. So the last game I saw was a Tom Cleverley goal. He's obviously injured as well at the moment too. So it just seems, say, completely disjointed against this Preston side that are obviously very, very well drilled, and with Watford not overly impressing and Preston not scoring. To me, I was surprised to see that we could get on this both teams to score no bet at decent odds of -122. So, yeah, confident play here with that one.
Confident play there from Jack. Great to see. My next selection is going over goals. Reading versus Middlesbrough. The Joe Lumley derby, let's call it. The QPR keeper who, after having such a poor game in the 4-0 defeat to Rotherham last season, kept a very, very important clean sheet for them on Wednesday night as they beat Blackburn 3-0. And that was a big result for Reading.
I was going to say, sorry, anyone doubting the reason why Joe Lumley has been castigated fiercely and found it harsh on him just needs to have a quick review of that Rotherham game to see that he was at fault for probably three of the goals and was lucky not to be at fault for another two.
I was surprised that he started, to be honest, last night.
Me too.
But he did start, and as I say, he kept a clean sheet up against a Blackburn side who up to that point had won all three games. So.
Yeah.
Credit to them, and it's a big win for Paul Ince that game as well, in terms of keeping Reading fans on side for the season. Middlesbrough just seem incapable of winning games of football for whatever reason. I mentioned it a second ago, 2-1 up against Stoke in a game that we bat them in, and they managed to somehow throw that away in injury time and come away with another draw, having drawn two other league games this season, a tool draw against Sheffield United where they battered them in the XG, and then in the first game against West Brom where they should have been out of sight really in the first half and let West Brom back in. But looking at their games, Their last two games have both had four goals. Their game against QPR had five goals. We are seeing a Borough side who have hit their straps from an attacking point of view, but defensively look very, very suspect. Similarly, Reading, looking at their recent games, a 3-0 win last night over 2.5, losing 4-0 at Rotherham. We've also seen them beat Cardiff 2-1. So we're seeing the majority of these games are pretty open affairs. I don't think Reading have the defensive capabilities to really live with Borough, but similarly, especially having scored three against Blackburn in midweek, I think they will fancy themselves to cause Borough problems. I don't see why this would be anything apart from a high-scoring game. And at the price that we're getting, it is minus 107. I think over 2.5 is a must-back in this one between two sides who are showing themselves to be a couple of the entertainers so far in this division, even if in Reading's case, it's often a big win or a big loss rather than in Borough's normally a score draw. So overs in that one for me. And then we've both got a pick in one game, different picks, but they can both win, which is good. So I'll let you go first in Stoke Sunderland.
Yeah, Stoke Sunderland. So I'm going for over 2.5 goals in this one at minus 109. We've talked about Sunderland at length, really. I had featured them in most weeks so far at the start of the season, and not much has changed, really, from my thought processes with them. Very exciting going forward. Lots of talent in those forward areas. We mentioned Ellis Sims coming into the side. He's created a bit of a buzz, like different forums and that I've seen, and his name keeps coming up a lot. So people are certainly sitting up and taking notice of him. He's got off to a good start at Sunderland as well. We know about Ross Stewart, Alex Pritchard. Gooch scored a fantastic goal last night as well. And said they found the back of the net when they were down to 10 men very early on. So that's always a good sign that they can still go and manage to get through teams and did so well in that game. So I like what I've seen from Sunderland, certainly in attacking areas. As I said, they seem to have been able to transition from League One into the Championship and still score goals freely. The 14 goals across their games so far this season, and both teams have scored in all of them, which is nice when you're on a goals bet that they can come at either end, really. So they have looked threatening, but equally, which is good for a goals bet, they haven't seemed to be able to keep it overly tight at the back. And so Sheffield United probably should have scored more than the two goals they got last night. And they say that's been a bit of a common theme as well. We've seen plenty of entertainment from Sunderland, 3-2 wins and all that in the mix as well. So that's good. I think Stoke have obviously always had a bit of a reputation as being a bit dour and not much, you grind out results, obviously going back in the day from Tony Pulis, etc. And they certainly seem a different side now. I think I'm not sure if the odds reflect kind of how they're playing. They seem open. They've got some exciting players. Again, another side that are good going forward. Lewis Baker is a player that obviously everyone likes, is impressed with. Great free kicks. Not so good for penalties, but he scored a fantastic goal from 20 yards. He took it from the Ismail Assar school of Liskor, the more flamboyant one rather than the one from 12 yards. But Jacob Brown scored again, who's a threat for them up front. It's good to see Tyrese Campbell back for them as well. So, a player that will definitely score goals at this level. And obviously they've got Dwight Gale, who's yet to score, but has linked up well to provide the assist. So I think, again, another side with lots going forward. And I think this could be a really exciting watch, a really entertaining watch, where I do expect to see plenty of goals in it. So, over 2.5 goals for me in that. And over to you for the icing on the cake.
Yeah, I'm siding with Sunderland in the game at plus a quarter at plus 102. So just a shade of odds against. I've been really impressed with Sunderland this season, and I don't think they've got the points that their performances have deserved, really. If you're looking at the game on Wednesday night when they went to Sheffield United, Dan Neil was sent off just after half an hour. But in that game, I would say Sunderland had shaded the game up until that point at Bramall Lane, which is a very difficult place to go, especially with Sheffield United's good home form. And even though, as you mentioned there, they were down to 10 men, they still scored and were still in for a point, basically, late into the game. But, even though they had to concede possession, the game is by no means done. You look at the QPR match the game before, they were 2-0 up with 5 minutes to go. A free kick from Ilias Chair, and then Seni Dieng, the QPR goalkeeper, nodding in the equaliser. And then on opening day against the Coventry side, who I think come with a lot of respect, 1-0 up with a couple of minutes to go. And then Victor Gyökeres with a moment of quality, rescuing a point. The only other game, they won 3-2 away at Bristol City. So in a kind of a parallel universe here with similar performances, they could have four or five more points easily on the board without having actually done anything differently. With Stoke, we've seen varying levels of performance. You know, they were very close to getting beat on Wednesday night. There was that really poor 3-1 defeat against Huddersfield that was fairly surprising. And I agree with you that they're a different proposition now than what they have been before. They're certainly a more exciting watch and have good individuals and some kind of attacking threat. But I think getting odds against and getting a quarter of a goal on side with Sunderland is a pretty solid way of playing this, who I think they're proving themselves to be well worth their return to the Championship. And look to me, possibly, as the strongest side who came up last season, despite being the ones who did it through the playoffs. Let's then look to League One and League Two, a pick each from League One and League Two. You're taking League One this week.
Yeah, I've had a bit of success in League One, so we're going back there. Barnsley versus Wickham is the game that I've gone for, and it's a Barnsley win minus 0.25, so a little bit of cover on this one. Was very tempted to go straight for the Barnsley win, but I said on the back of a bit of a shakier performance last week, I thought midweek, go for a little bit of cover. So minus 0.25 is the bet at minus 109. And again, I was surprised to see Barnsley at odds against to win this outright against this Wickham side. Barnsley look upwardly mobile. Michael Duff's obviously a manager there who is a manager that, well, I really like. I'm not the only one of his fan club, let's say, put it that way. Yeah. He's obviously done fantastic work at Cheltenham, dragged them up from League Two and done well to keep them in League One before obviously moving on to Barnsley. And it started, obviously, we're early stage of the season, but the start wasn't fantastic. But they've now won three of the last four in all competitions. As I said, they now look upwardly mobile under him. He's obviously getting his messages across. Let's say a fantastic manager, a club that should be challenging, will expect to be challenging up to the top end of the league. And that's the direction they're heading. Comfortable win over Bristol Rovers midweek. So that was very nice. 3-0. So kept that momentum going and so kept them moving up the table. So they're against the Wickham side that are heading in the other direction. They've now lost their last two, conceded five goals in the process as well. So, a side that always kind of did it against the odds, really, over the last two or three seasons, tend to give up lots and lots of possession and have managed to kind of punch above their weight from looking at the bare stats. So I think they'll get punished here against Barnsley. I do expect Barnsley to win it. Wickham, generally speaking, have always been a little bit of a kind of a tougher nut to crack at League One level. But as I said, five goals conceded in the last two show that that potentially is not the case right now. And I expect Barnsley to take advantage of that with the players they've got going in forward areas, with the manager they've got, getting them set up for this one. To take the 3 points. But as I said, a little bit of security on the handicap there, and we still get a nice price of minus 109.
Minus 109 there, getting with Barnsley on the Asian handicap. Into League Two, and this is a really big fancy for me. I'm strong on this. Under 2.5 goals in Swindon versus Rochdale at minus 124. These two teams have played 8 games between them so far this season in League and Cup, and all 8 have been under 2.5 goals. So I'm pretty surprised to see that they are currently the biggest price for unders in the whole of League Two. I think part of the reason for this is that Swindon are pretty short price favourites. So I guess they're seeing their supremacy being fairly high. But Rochdale are a toothless attacking side, it's fair to say, but also aren't conceding that many goals. Swindon's expected goals against from open play is the worst in League Two, which might play into it. But then because Rotherham are basically unable to break teams down, it's not really a massive concern for me. Both teams have started the season really poorly. Both teams have started the season fairly solid at the back, but just unable to create chances. And I don't see why that would change here. I'm amazed. You know, if you're looking at other prices in League Two, most other matches comfortably shorter than this. It is still, you know, a fair bit odds on. But if you're looking for something to put in your multis this week, or if you're happy to back something at minus 124 as a single, I think unders in this one is the way to go from my point of view. My strongest bet of the weekend by a fair way. So hopefully we're going to stop hitting the crossbar here, Jack, and we're going to get some picks up. Before I let you go, we're just going to run through the other championship games that we haven't touched upon, just so you guys are aware of what else is available on the BetRivers site, what else you can bet on and what the prices are too. So we've got Sheffield United against Blackburn Rovers, Blades minus 143, Blackburn after that disappointing defeat in midweek, plus 340, the Tide plus 240. Burnley host Blackpool. Burnley unlucky not to win in midweek, go home to Hull, they're minus 215. Blackpool plus 460 after their good display at QPR and a big win for them and Michael Appleton. West Brom minus 200 at home to Hull, plus 450. Hull have had an incredibly hard start to the season. So even though it feels like they're getting quite fortunate with the points they're picking up, it doesn't get any easier on Saturday with a trip to the Hawthorns. Birmingham plus 135, Wigan plus 180. QPR hosting Rotherham, QPR minus 114, Rotherham plus 270. And finally, Bristol City plus 102, Cardiff plus 220, the tie plus 230. I'm not going back to the well, and nor is Jack. So
have left that alone for sure.
Yeah, that was a guaranteed goals there in that one after we've left them both alone. Thank you very much.
Both teams are scoring overs against Cardiff this season, then they're doing well, I think, to be fair. That mean they're back on the radar.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Jack, for sharing your thoughts as ever. Thank you guys for joining us on the show. Do subscribe to the BetRivers Network YouTube channel and please do leave a review or a comment beneath this. It really does make a massive difference to us. And you can find this on any podcast provider as well as the rest of the great shows on the BetRivers Network. So do check that out. Do look at the BetRivers site as well for all of your betting needs, not just in terms of EFL, Championship, League One, League Two football or soccer, but across all other sports as well. So do check out the BetRivers site and get on those bets ASAP before the prices start to go. Hopefully a couple of winners in there this week. Frustration in midweek, but I think we're on the right track and hopefully we'll get back to winning ways with our bets this time. So please do enjoy the football. And as is always the case, please do ensure that you're gambling responsibly.